Please be seated. One of the real blessings in our parish is the knitting group. They're sitting here, I'm trying not to embarrass them, but I mean that. They are one of the real blessings that we have in this parish, among many blessings. And I said to you before, and I say again, I am in awe of what you do, of your skill. To watch them is miraculous. They engage in this act of pure magic, creating these gorgeous hats and gloves and mittens and scarves from these strands of beautiful yarn with the click of some needles. And what's most wonderful about this is they create these beautiful items not for themselves, but to be given away. They are lovingly made and given to people who live on our streets, who desperately need items to keep them warm. Today, we will bless these beautiful items. You can see the baskets lined up in the back. We'll bless the items that the knitting group has made, and we'll bless the items that you have donated to enhance our contribution. And then they will all be brought to Church Beyond the Walls. And the people who attend Church Beyond the Walls live largely on the streets of our city. I mentioned the knitters today not to embarrass them, not only because I am amazed by their work and we're going to bless their handiwork, but I have to say I think of them every All Saints Day because of our collect of the day. We prayed, Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. There's God as knitter, this beautiful image of God knitting not garments, but community, a fellowship of people, a body. God knits together disparate people across time and space, even across the divide of death, knitting all together into God's people. Through God, all people become part of an eternal body, one great mystical fellowship in which God's love, past, present, future, is all caught up and knit together, connecting all people. At the heart of the festival we keep today, this Feast of All Saints, there is the assertion that God's love is eternal and transcends time and space. Even death cannot defeat God's love. Even death will not separate us from those who have gone before us. Death will never separate us from God. We are safe forever in God's hands, always, no matter what, even when we die. And the promise is that those we love and see no more, they too continue to be safe in God and share in God's love across the chasm of the grave. And so this feast proclaims that great knittedness, that great connection in God of everyone, including those who have gone before us, and how we live in union with them through the communion of saints. The saints of God inspire us by their witness. They offer us encouragement. They pray for us while we continue to run this earthly race. Because the saints have lived this life themselves, they know what it's about. They understand the joys. They know the challenges of this journey. And at its heart, the hope that is in us is nothing short of the hope of resurrection. The glorious inheritance of the saints in light is the promise of eternal life with God. The great power of God that defeated death once and for all, though Jesus was crucified, dying on the cross for love of humanity, that was not the end. On the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead, and destroying once and for all death and making the whole creation new. We hear this in the beautiful passage from the book of Revelation today. I confess it's one of my favorites. John has a revelation of God on the throne and of the Lamb. And all the saints are gathered at the throne, and they praise and worship God day and night. In this kingdom of God, all are safe. There is no longer hunger or thirst. There's no scorching heat. And the Lamb is their shepherd, gathering people to the springs of the waters of life. And that beautiful, tender promise at the end of the passage that God wipes away every tear from every eye. There is that promise of resurrection that in God's reign there is no sorrow or pain, neither sighing, but life everlasting. And so our hope lies in this promise of resurrection, the promise that through the waters of baptism we share in Christ's death, so that we might share in the promise also of his resurrection. Just as Jesus died and was raised on the third day, so we shall be raised. In the waters of baptism, we die to the old life and we rise to the new. We cast off the death-wielding ways of this world, and they are many. We cast off those ways and put on the power of resurrection life. Because we are baptized into Christ's body, knit by God together into one communion, and marked as God's children forever. And through the waters of baptism, we then become the presence of Jesus. We become the ones who live resurrection life while we still live in this world of sin and death. In the waters of baptism, we become the body of Christ, the presence of Jesus in the world. We become literally the hands and the feet, the ears, the eyes, even the voice of Jesus. In baptism, we promise to turn away from the ways of this world, away from sin and evil, and turn to Jesus. We promise to reject the powers of evil and sin that rebel against God, that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. And we promise to turn our back on sinful desires that lead us away from God. And we promise in baptism to turn to Jesus, bathed in his resurrection light, and to walk in that light, to even see the world through the light of resurrection. And we promise to put our whole trust in his grace and love, that we will follow and obey him as our Lord and Savior. In our gospel today, we hear something about what this life looks like. We have those familiar words of the Beatitudes, those statements of blessedness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, because they follow Jesus. And God hears the cry of all. God cares for all. And God promises they will all be redeemed, that God's justice will right the wrongs of this world. Now, the church has a history of interpreting this passage as about after we die, heaven. But that's really not what Matthew is saying here. It's not about just when we die. Jesus actually is talking about this moment, about this life. The Beatitudes are God's vision for earthly life. They are our call from God and how we are to live. God hears the cry of those in need. God listens to those wronged in this life. God knows those who are persecuted. And God calls all who love God to act now in this world to put things right, to knit people back together into wholeness by caring for those in need. And so that means those of us who have enough in this life, who live comfortably, are called to open our hearts to the cry of those in need, to not be complacent because of what we have and neglect or ignore the vulnerable in our midst. We are called by Jesus to live lives of blessedness, to be a blessing to other people, to give abundantly and generously from what God has entrusted to us so that others have what they need. We're called to live by the ways of God even now in this life, so that we make real the eternity to which we long and aspire, that eternity which the saints of God already enjoy. This is all about baptism, and so on this day we will renew our baptismal covenant in just a moment and reaffirm those promises made at baptism. These are promises that articulate the life of blessedness to which we are called. We promise to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, gathering for the Eucharist, being faithful in prayer. We promise to persevere in resisting evil, and when we sin, to repent and return to the Lord. We promise to proclaim through our words as well as our deeds the good news of God in Christ. And we promise to love our neighbor as ourselves, seeking and serving all people. And we promise to work for justice and peace, for the reconciliation of all people, and always, in all things, to respect the dignity of every person. That's a tall order. We are asked a lot. What we promise, frankly, is impossible for us to always live faithfully. The reality is we will miss sometimes, we will stray, we will sin, we all fall short of God's call. But we can only make these promises by God's grace and with the power of the Holy Spirit. We can only make these promises in community so that we can rely on one another to support us in this call. And in making these promises, the saints promise to stand beside us, to cheer us on, to inspire us with the stories of their lives, of their witness to the faith. They offer to pray for us as we lift our hearts in thanksgiving to them, and they will support us as we run this earthly race. And the thing about the saints is they know what we experience. The saints, we can think of them as lofty, surrounding that throne of the Lamb, and they are, but they are ordinary people like you and me. The saints lived ordinary human lives just as we do. But the thing about the saints is they were ordinary people who did extraordinary things, who had extraordinary faith. They were compelling witnesses to the love of God made known in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And they did so because of their faith, because of the support of others they walked with, and above all, because of the power of God dwelling richly in them. And so on this All Saints Sunday, may we aspire to do the same. May we always seek to live lives as a blessing to others, that we are the blessed of God in this life. And through our lives, may the love of God be known in this world that so desperately needs the love of God. And may we always trust the power of God to support us and deliver us, now in this life and at the end, when we too are gathered with the saints in light. The promise is that we too will be knit together in a mystical and eternal body when we take our place at the throne of God and sing the praises of the Lamb for eternity with all the blessed of God. Amen.